you look at the competition at Loch, and then you think of the fact that Ryan Baird had a concussion, then you think of guys like Tom O'Hearn coming through the system. He probably needed to come on and be really explosive and dynamic.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Like, what's happened with Jack Grealish, just in general? You know, he said he struggled in his first season under Pep at Man City to adapt to Pep's way of playing. But he was still quite happy enough because they were winning things. And he had a better second campaign. I think he started the Champions League final that they won against Inter. But it seems overall is that he's lost that spark that he became famous for at Aston Villa. And oftentimes now with Grealish, as he picks up the ball, checks back, might get a free kick, might get nudged, generally retains possession. But you're not getting an awful lot out of him for the 100 million you spent. And he's just one example.
100 million does seem excessive at this point. Yeah. It's not the most egregious signing of a flaky winger that's happened in recent seasons by a club in Manchester, but it's not a million miles away. I mean, look, I love Grealish, and I think that he is impactful on games, and there's obviously something that Pep wants him to do that he's doing, but it's not amazing.
Yeah. Look, this is obviously not a Grealish matter. It was just, he could have stuck out again last night, and that's more of an example of how he's got on. But it's just a virus that's inflicted the whole team. There's no one really playing that well for Man City at the moment. I was kind of like half joking saying it after the Anfield game recently, when Pep did the six finger salute to first the Anfield faithful and then to his own supporters when he went to applaud them afterwards. I was thinking, geez, he'd never leave, would he? He'd never quit. Like, he'd never be sick of this. And we're all kind of laughing it off. Like, obviously not. He just signed a new contract. It's Manchester City. The club is made for him, quite literally. Everything about it is for Pep Guardiola, and he succeeded there, and it's nearly a decade now he's been at the club. And he said as recently as this week he won't manage another club. But then I was thinking, well, that's all fair enough and true. But Jesus, how long could this go on for? Like, what if they lose the Manchester Derby?
They could have a down season. This does happen, right? Where retrospectively, they'll bounce back and we will say that they were affected by off-the-field matters, where the players' WhatsApp group was pinging with messages. Oh, it's now 129 charges. Ooh, does your contract have a clause if we get relegated? And then they won't get relegated. They'll get deducted 40 points this season. This season won't matter. They'll start next season off on 0 points, the same as everybody else. They'll have signed 3 decent players. The squad will still be good. They'll have a new right back, and they'll have a new De Bruyne, and Pep will be back, and away we go, and they'll be competitors again next season. That's very much.
You see, I think a down season would be if they finished third or fourth and they were inconsistent throughout and they had patches of poor run. But this is unprecedented, how they're playing and how they're losing. And now it's become regular. There was no surprise when Juventus took the lead last night. There was less surprise when they doubled it. And City are still creating chances, but you just don't back them to win a game. And the thing is, the players are coming out and saying this. Kyle Walker is very open about the lack of confidence, or in fact, complete absence of it. Diaz pointed on yesterday, said it's very difficult to get yourself out of this. Yeah. It's a pure mentality thing.
It's true, but like, so many injury problems that they have, and every club has injury problems. But
who do we have? Radri, Kovacic. They have the Bruyne back now.
Nathan Aki, the John Stones. They have a full choice back four out if you want to pick the way they had done with no actual fullbacks. And obviously, they can't drop Kyle Walker, even though he doesn't look very fast anymore, which was his thing.
It's more stamina. He was at fault for that second goal. He didn't cover McKinney.
It surely can't be just a mentality thing if, when you know, Rodri keeps getting brought up as like this catalyst of it's all gone wrong since Rodri's gotten injured, then that's not mentality. That's probably a sign of a flawed system where you rely on one player so much so that when he does go, you lose, 7-9, I think is they've won 1-10. So I don't know if that can be just put down to mentality as far as maybe a lack of an ability to adjust to when things actually are going wrong, because we haven't really seen that with City since Pep's been there.
Yeah, but it's largely the same group of players that have brought him all this success, even with Radri missing, that we know that 11 is more than good enough to beat every side they played this season. Yeah. So I think it is definitely in their heads that they realise the whole world is watching now about this hilarious run of form that we're on. And the derby is even more interesting than it already would be now, because both teams are a bit shy.
Two great teams.
You know.
That game is live on Off the Ball on Sunday, by the way. So Paris Saint-Germain away is round 7 of 8 games in the Champions League. And then they wrap it up with a handy fixture at home to Club Brugge. But at this stage, like, Paris Saint-Germain are playing worse than they are in European football.
Ah, yeah, they'll be grand, won't they?
So you would think that they would still be grand at this stage. And the way it finished with all the results last night, they are still in the top 24, which means they would still be qualifying. But that's like they're a point clear of PSG. If PSG were to beat them, for example, they would be in dire straits.
So we're done now with the Champions League this side of Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Both two games are in January. Yeah. So look, who knows, they could be back to form by then.
I'd say they're behind Celtic on the table, as things stand.
Celtic have been pretty good, though.
You know, I remember we had that state of play, state of union address after the Borussia Dortmund hammering with Tom English.
Mm.
They've been largely really good since then.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, throwing another 3 defeats in a row, like, when does this become untenable?
I don't think it becomes untenable at any point for Pep. Really? I think that no matter what happens this season, because they, and I think that they might volunteer to take their medicine this season now. So maybe that decision has already been made and that has seeped into the consciousness of the players and the management.
Yeah,
and
is like, there a world where these charges, the players are very aware of them and the implications of them, mm-hmm. and the truth has already been relayed to their agents or their representatives, and they know that it's not good news?
Yeah, so what's the point?
They're like, their motivation has completely dissipated because they're all out of there.
And so or not that they're all out of there, but that it's going to be a 40-50 point deduction and this season is a write-off. Now, I did think that they were able to rouse it for the Champions League and be able to at least get a point from that one. Let's talk about Man City, right? There were loads of games where the XG was what it was and they actually outplayed the opponents and it looked kind of random. And then the randomness settled into a pattern, and now the pattern has become a complete reality where even I thought that when they got a few players back, when they got Doku back, when they got De Bruyne back, they'd have a bit of pace back in the team and they'd be able to lean back into that. But even with that in the team and even with the pace and the chances they're creating, something's rotten.
Yeah, well, look, you look at Manchester City, even last night you're thinking the XG wasn't too bad. They created a couple of chances within the game. If they'd have took a couple of chances, the Haaland one where he goes through and tries to dink the goalkeeper, that was a really good save. There was one or two other chances, but they're too easy to get at, Jared. And attacking wise, you can say, yeah, they look good. They look okay. They're still doing what they're doing. Probably not taking their chances as well as they should, but defensively, they're all over the place. There's nobody smelling danger. I wouldn't go quite as heavy as you know, as Kamikaze as Spurs are out of possession, but I mean, Guardiola is the second highest top goal scorer at City and he's supposed to be playing as a left centre half left back, so that sort of shows you where he's bombing on to. And again, I go back to leaders and it always inevitably comes back to Rodri. Rodri is generally the one who's standing on the edge of the 18 yard box when City are pinning teams in. And he can sort of have a look and think, if this is going to break down, where do I need to go to pick up the second ball? And I'm not so sure Gundogan has the legs. I'm a big admirer of his. When he left Manchester City, his stock was so high.
And it was such a good time to leave, though. It was like he was leaving as a legend. He was going to have to make some money at Barcelona and hang out in the sunshine and then potentially go to Turkey and then eventually end up either in America or, like, you know, that was a brilliant career. Now he's come back and you're like, what are you doing back here? You shouldn't be back.
Well, that's another one. Like, I personally still think Kevin De Bruyne has an awful lot to give for Manchester City. But when you look at Gundogan, who's 34, Kevin De Bruyne, who's 33, and De Bruyne is banging the drum about the amount of games he's playing and little injuries he's picking up all the time. So has he got the legs? Is he robust enough to get round that midfield? Gundogan doesn't look like he is to me. Rico Lewis popping in there, a young lad to go and help the two older lads. I don't think the balance is quite right. And the one thing for me is, and I brought this up last night, is there's a big question mark over Kyle Walker. So often his pace is what gets Manchester City out of trouble. They can stand on the halfway line, really strangle teams, but if he's not got that blistering pace, I think it was Adama Traore, he gave Adama Traore the line and he just breezed past him. That doesn't happen to Kyle Walker.
Even Timo Werner skinning Walker.
Werner done it to him as well, yeah.
What was he doing for Weston McKennie's goal last night? Because he was like blatantly not covering him. But what was the actual decision making on his behalf, do you think?
I'm not too sure. That's actually one of them where you get the game out the next day and you ask him, you say, look, what were you thinking there? Because I can't get my head around what you were thinking, why the alarm bells weren't going off. And I always say this about Kyle, and I don't exactly mean it as a it is a negative, but I'm not trying to point it out as a glaring fault of his. He's not the best defender in the world. It's his pace that gets him out of problems. So when he makes little mistakes like that, I can say, well, I seen that when he was a kid at Sheffield United. He's not the most clued in, but his pace gets him out of it. If his pace is starting to wane, he's going to start looking very, very average.
Or his stamina.
His stamina, yeah, look, he still looks in decent nick, but it's that you know, electric pace. You know, when you see him keeping up with Mbappe, getting Vinicius Jr. in decent races, he doesn't look like he can compete with those lads all of a sudden. But look, an easy way of telling is you get the laser lights out and you tell him to run 10 yards and you see if he is actually coming down the levels. It might be just a mental thing that he's not seeing it develop as quickly as he should, and his legs are just being exposed.
Thing is, like, they still have plenty of possession. They dominated for large spells last night, especially until the second goal. And they had the chance that you mentioned, Haaland. They had other opportunities as well. And they were unbeaten in two beforehand with the win last week, and then they drew at Palace. But on Pep Guardiola, in all of this, is his position untouchable? I mean, there's no doubt. There's no worries that he's going to go. Is it? I mean, the only thing I think equated is Liverpool, the year after won the league, I think it was the start of 2021. Do you remember they were losing mad games in Anfield against lower opposition? They had a run of it. And there was probably question marks then about Jurgen Klopp, and well, maybe he's going to head off now, he's kind of done with this, and he turned it around. So there is an example of this, but it feels like a proper crisis at the moment, 1 in 10.
Yeah, it does feel like a crisis. I suppose when you look at the stats and how they're weighing up in terms of winning games and getting points on the board in the Champions League and the Premier League, it's not been good enough. Do I think Pep Guardiola is under pressure? He probably is, but by himself. I don't think the Arabs are in the background thinking we're going to pull the trigger here.